There's a perhaps hard to understand Zohar that's quoted in many Svarim. Says, this is, I saw it in another Sefer obviously, but I went around and tried to find the original quote. Do gar mochad yishtar min gufa tchos ara. There's a certain bone, one bone that remains with the body under the ground, meaning after death. Vahu lo iskare mizrakev, it doesn't rot. Velo itbale ba'afra la'omen, and it doesn't become decomposed at all in the dirt. Forever. Ubahahu's mana, and at that time apparently is some messianic time, resurrection, tchias amesim, kudsha brichu yirachechle, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and he softens it, v'yavidle kechamira ba'isa, and he makes it, you know, some reference to the bread making process, dough, he works it a little bit, v'yistalek v'yitpashet la'arba zavin, and it expands, u'minei yishtachle al gufei b'chol shifu. And from there, the body is rebuilt. So the Zohar tells us there's some bone, doesn't decompose apparently, and it's what the person is resurrected from. There's a similar source in Vayikra Rabbah. Vayikra Rabbah is the earliest of the Midrashei Rabbah. We're told in Vayikra Rabbah, they weren't all written as one group. Vayikra Rabbah was the earliest. Shol is Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. Amr lo, mehechan HaKadosh Baruch Hu meitzis es ha'adam lasad lavo. Where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it's time for the resurrection, so where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu start? Amr lo, miluz shel shedra. From the luz of the shedra. Some bone, apparently, that's part of the spinal cord. That's the luz of the shedra. It's called luz. Amar lo minhein at modioli aisei kumi. So he said, you know, what's pshat, what's going on here? So he said, what happens is nasnu b'mayim v'lo nimcha. He says, like, I'll show you. Like, I don't know if he took a sample or he saw that he had one, he saw one. Nasnu b'mayim v'lo nimcha. You put it into water, this bone called luz, and it doesn't get softened. Tachnu b'rechayim, you grind it up in a mill. V'lo nitchan, it doesn't... it doesn't grind up. Nasnu be'esh v'lo nisraf. You put it into fire and it doesn't burn. Nasnu al hasadin. You put it on some, it sounds like some type of stand or something. V'hitchil maka alav v'patish, and you start to hit it with a hammer. Nechla kasadan, the base breaks. V'nivka patish, and the hammer breaks. V'lo hi'olom imenu klum. But it doesn't do anything to the bone. Very strange what exactly is going on here. One last source, the Shiboi Aleket tells us, Ubisidurim, Shiboi Aleket was one of the Rishonim, Italian Rishon, Shiboi Aleket tells us, Ubisidurim, Afarish, Eder Echad Yesh Bo Ba'adam, finally we're getting to some Hebrew here, or to some more understandable Hebrew, Eder Echad Yesh Bo Ba'adam, V'niskoi Shemo, there's a certain bone in the body, it's called Niskoi, V'eno Nana Ba'achila El B'motzei Shabbos. It only gets sustenance from food that's eaten on Motzei Shabbos. The Elyo Rabba and many sources assume that we're all these sources are speaking about the same bone. The Elyo Rabba actually says the reason it doesn't decompose is because it didn't get any hana from the Eitz Hadas. More details are provided by some other Sfarim in the Matan Moshe. He tries to elaborate a little bit here. He says that it's a very tiny microscopic bone that's found in the back of the head, the very top of the spinal cord. And it's the makom where we actually put the back of our tefillin knot rests. There's a fascinating piece also in the Siddur Yavetz, where Yaakov Emden writes in the Siddur Yavetz. He quotes these two names, Niskoi and Luz. And he adds another mucker, which he refers to as Medrash HaNelam. And he says that this bone is also referred to as Besuel, and that it's a Ramai, it's a trickster. And he said that he was very, very disturbed when he was reading all these things because he didn't know what was going on, as probably most of you sitting in the room are wondering what's going on right now. And he says that he looked around in Sfarim and nobody was explaining what the Luz is, what's Niskoi, why is it called Bilam, why is it a trickster? And he said he was looking around for a very long time, and then one moment, he received a tremendous ha'ara from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, siyata d'shmaya, and he thinks he understands the inyan, and he goes on to explain the inyan, and I obviously didn't understand what he said when he was explaining the inyan. So, unfortunately, I guess, ein lanu esek b'nistaros, we don't really understand a lot of these things, and what we could perhaps begin to understand is why the Malava Malka meal, again, remember that this bone only receives its sustenance, apparently, from the food that's eaten on Motzei Shabbos. The Malava Malka meal and the entire Motzei Shabbos experience is very much connected with David HaMelech, Eliyahu HaNavi, and Mashiach. And certainly we start to hear in these Midrashim and these Zohars, certainly some type of connection to Achas HaYomim, to an importance to give sustenance to a certain part of our body that's only sustained from food eaten on Motzei Shabbos, and that part of the body is where the resurrection, Tchias HaMesim, begins. But what I'd like to try to do is to focus on some of the halachos of Malava Malka, because unfortunately, or I don't know, fortunately or unfortunately, we're not going to spend time having a Zohar shir trying to understand what exactly the loose bone is all about. But we can try to understand a little bit of the halachos of the Malava Malka. Hopefully one day, Bezos Hashem, we'll understand more of the deeper sodos of what's going on. So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, and Daf Kuf Yud Tes, Amid Beis, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Li'olam Yisadeh Adam Shulchanu B'Erev Shabbos. A person should arrange and set his table on Erev Shabbos. Af Api She'enot Tzarech El Kazayas, even though he might only need to eat a Kazayas. Why might he only need to eat a Kazayas? So maybe he ate before Shabbos, maybe there was a bris, or there was some type of Simcha, so he had to eat before Shabbos. He's not so hungry now on Shabbos. But some try to bring from here a raya that the amount of food that you need to eat in a Shabbos meal is a kezayas. The mice, I think we paskin that you need to eat a kebetza. But certainly there seems to be a small indication here that you have to eat a kezayas for a Shabbos meal. Amar Rabbi Chanin, li'olam yisadeh adam shulchanu b'motzoi Shabbos. A person should set his table on motzoi Shabbos. Even though he only needs a kezayas. Now the Gemara continues. Chamin b'motzoi Shabbos. Hot food on Motzei Shabbos, melugma. This is beneficial for health. Pascham of Motzei Shabbos, fresh baked bread, melugma is also good for Motzei Shabbos. One last story the Gemara tells us. Rabbi Abo, Rabbi Ovdenle, Afuke Shabta, he used to make or have made for him on Motzei Shabbos, Igla Tilsa, a calf Tilsa. Either that means the third calf, meaning you wait until the first two babies are born because the first two are not the, you know, you don't swing on the first pitch. You know, the first two babies that come out, I mean, not chas v'shalom, not about children, but with a cow, apparently, the first two babies that come out are not as, not as great, not as tasty. So he would wait for the third calf that came out. Another pshat is that when the calf was a third old, that was the age. But whatever it was some geschmack piece of meat. And he would have that piece of meat cooked for him on Motzoi Shabbos. And have ochel minei kul yasa. And he would only eat the kidney from it. And the rest of the animal he wouldn't eat. Ki gado avimi brei, when his son avimi grew up, Amalei said to his father, lam lecha lashude kuli hai. You're only eating the kidney of this geschmack animal, and you know, you're letting the rest of the animal go to waste. Why are you doing that? Just because you want to cook something special on Motzei Shabbos? Nishba kul yasa mimali shabta. Why don't you just cook an animal on Friday, and you'll eat the whole animal on Shabbos, and you'll leave over the kidney for Motzei Shabbos? So shavku taka. Maybe we'll try that. So they tried it the next week. The asa aryeh achle, and a lion came and ate it. Ate what? He ate the extra calf that was sitting in the pen, that he would have taken to Shechta Motzei Shabbos, but he didn't because his son said, no, let's leave over something from the animal that you cooked on Erev Shabbos. So that other animal got eaten anyway by a lion. So it got wasted anyway. End of the story. Implication being that he was doing the right thing by shechting that animal on Motzei Shabbos and just eating the liver, the kidney. Thank you. So this is the mocker that we have for Malava Malka. And as Rashi says, why do we do it? Why would he prepare a meal b'motzoi Shabbos? Says Rashi, Nami Kavod Shabbos on the source sheet, L'lavos b'yitziyaso derech kavod. Ki adam ha'malavos ha'melech b'tzeiso min ha'ir. Just like with a king, when he comes to town, you welcome him and you escort him out. So too, when Shabbos comes, there's an inyan to escort him in, escort the Shabbos queen in, and to escort her out. And that's certainly, we see the juxtaposition in the Gemara, where the Gemara says first the din of making a meal before and making a meal after. It's also just interesting to note that this statement here of that a person should make a meal on Motzoi Shabbos is said by Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina is the same one who says in the Gemara that on Arab Shabbos they used to do certain things, that they would run out to the field, they would do different things in order to welcome in the Shabbos. He's one of the Amoraim there that describes a practice to do on Arab Shabbos in order to escort in Shabbos. There's this idea that just like we usher in Shabbos, so we also usher out Shabbos. The Rambam codifies this the halacha in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos. V'chein mesader on the source sheet. V'chein mesader shulchan b'motzoi Shabbos. Af al pi sheino tzorach elu l'kazayis kedei l'chavdo b'knisaso u'b'tziyaso. The Rambam basically just quotes the Gemara and sticks in the Tam, the same Tam that Rashi mentioned. So this is what the Gemara tells us. However, what the Gemara leaves out is, and the Rambam, is some very important vital information that we might want to know if we want to actually keep this halacha. First of all, he doesn't tell us what the status of the meal is in halacha. He doesn't tell us what we should be eating, and he doesn't tell us when to eat. So let's try to get a better understanding of at least some of these issues regarding Melach HaMachah. The pashtus is that the Seuda on Motzoi Shabbos is not Dioraisa. It's not Dioraisa. This is what the Shiboli Halakit writes on the source sheet. B'motzoi Shabbos, klum hu mitzvah min HaTorah l'sadr shulchan v'likvah sudasa v'paso b'yayin. There is no mitzvah min HaTorah to have a Melach HaMachah. The Ritva in Shabbos, right on the Gemara, also says, "Li'olam yisadir adam shulchanu b'motzoi Shabbos." Says the Ritva, "Kol recha de'efsher, if you can." Aval in zechova, this is not a chova. This is also written by the Radvaz. The Radvaz writes, "It's a mitzvah, but also in kan chova." And the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Balatanya, writes in Siman Shin, "No chova, eino ela mitzvah min hamuvchar bilvad." So we have a whole slew of Rishonim and Achronim, Poskim, who say that it's not a Chiyuv D'Oraisa. There's a very important, not only is it not a Chiyuv D'Oraisa, but it's not even an obligation. It's not even a Chova. It's not something that you are obligated to do. And this has a couple of very important nafkaminas for us. First of all, let's say you only have enough money to pay for a certain number of meals, let's say three meals, over the course of Shabbos. So what should you do? You should obviously use that money to buy the three meals of Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Shalosh Shudas, rather than spend that money on Melach HaMachah. And in the Shutraf Pi'ilim, he points out that this is even if you assume that the three meals on Shabbos are not D'Oraisa. That's a machlokas. If the three meals, most of us assume that the three meals on Shabbos are D'Oraisa. Because of what? What word that's repeated three times in the Pasuk? Hayom. The word Hayom is mentioned three times, so we assume that there are three meals that are Achiv D'Oraisa on Shabbos. However, there is a Manda Amr that it's only D'Rabbanan, but the Rav Pi'ilim says in his Tshuvas that even according to that opinion, you still would use your money first for the three meals. Why? Because the three meals, even if they're only D'Rabbanan, they're still Achiv. This meal is not Achiv, it's a Rishus, it's a Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar. Another Nafka Mina is regarding the relationship between Havdalah and the meal. In the beginning of Shabbos, we have Achiv Kiddush. Yet Chazal came and took that Chiyuv D'Oraisa of Kiddush. Question is, it D'Oraisa on the coast? Not on the coast, the Seder. But there's a Chiyuv of Kiddush, and Chazal came and linked that to the meal. In Kiddush El B'Makom Seuda. Why? Because there's a Chiyuv Seuda on ushering in Shabbos also. Right in the beginning of Shabbos, we have a Chiyuv Seuda. So we connect Kiddush with a meal. So go ahead, ask me a question. We do the same thing on Motzei Shabbos. What do we do? What coast do we have on Motzei Shabbos? We have Avdallah. Kishem that there's a chiyuv, the Rambam says, to be machne Shabbos with Kiddush, so that you have to be motzi Shabbos with a Havdalah. So why don't we connect that to the meal? We're eating a meal right afterwards. We'll have a malka. Why don't we make the Havdalah be a kos on the meal? So this was a question that was asked to the Gaonim, all the way back before the time of the Rishonim. This question was asked of the Gaonim, and in one of the tshuvas of the Gaonim, I think it was the Avram Gaon, so he writes in the tshuva that the reason we don't do this is because the meal's not a chiyuv. The Rav Yah, German Rishon, the Rav Yah quotes this Shuvah of the Gaonim, and the way he says it is because by Malava Malka, Iboy Achil, Iboy Lo Achil. If you want to eat it, you can. If you don't want to eat it, you don't have to. So from everything we've seen so far, it's a nice inyan, it's brought down in the Gemara, but it's not an absolute chiyuv. Certainly not the Araisa, not even a chiyuv de Rabbanim. However, there are many sources that indicate that it is much more, and it actually is a chiyuv Gomor. The Chai Adam, I have a Chayadim on your... Oh, I have the Rav Avram Gaon and the Rav Yar on the Makoro sheet if you'd like to see them inside. And it was Rav Avram Gaon. Okay. The Chayadim, unfortunately I didn't put that on the seat, but the Chayadim says, this is in Hilchos Shabbos Klal Ches, Os Lamed Vav, 36. Ashrei Lemish Mekayim Suda Dalid Bepas. It's an Inyan. Ashrei, it's fortunate one who does it. V'hi Nikrei Sudas Mitzvahs Malka. Umishi Yafshar Lo Lechol Pas, and if you can't eat Pas, Al Koponim Yochal Minei Mizonos. At least eat some Mizonos. V'zehu Chiyuv Gomer. And this, to at least have Mizonos, that's a Chiyuv Gomer. There is one Achron, who I think it might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but he says, Yesh Mekomo She'en Mekayimen Sudas Malava Malka, U'be'emes Humidina De Gemara. There are people who don't keep Sudas Malava Malka, and it's Mamash Chiyuv Gomer. It's in the Gemara. V'chol Ha'over Al Divrei Chachamim Chayiv Misa. Anyone who doesn't listen to the Chachamim is Chayiv Misa. So the Chor, this Chayiv Misa is just stressing the importance of Malava Malka. But you know, that's what he says. I wonder if you're Chayiv Misa for saying about someone who says something is Chayiv Misa. If you say one of the Rabbanim says something is Chayiv Misa, and you say, oh, he doesn't really mean that, I wonder what happens to you if you say that. So I'm not officially going on record, but it sounds like this statement was made by one of the Achronim. I saw it quoted in an article, but he just said one of the Achronim. He didn't say who it was. I searched high and low. I wasn't able to find it. So if anyone finds it, you let me know. Okay. This is in terms of the halachic literature. However, as you can imagine, the Sifrut HaKabbalah in Kabbalistic literature. So Malava Malka plays a very, very vital role. And it was taken very seriously. The Arizal in Shaar Kavanos says that the Malava Malka is the mechanism for extending the Kedusha Shabbos into the week. L'hamshich or Kedusha Suda Shabbos, l'chol Suda Simeachol. In general, we know that whenever there's Kedusha, so there's a requirement, a necessity, to take that Kedusha, because the Kedusha is the inspiration, and it's important to take that inspiration and draw it into the times that aren't always inspiring. That's true in Avodas Hashem, it's true in Yeshiva. You have an inspiring moment, you have to learn to take that inspiring moment and carry it into the rest of the week. But it's true with Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh, and the Kedusha is mitpashet l'kol ha'olam. Shabbos is Kadosh, and the Kedusha of Shabbos spreads to the rest of the week. And the Kedusha of the Shabbos meals can spread to the other meals of the week. But how? Through the Chibur. Where's the Makom HaChibur, Bein Chol, Bein HaKodesh? Just like in the world, we find that there's a Beis HaMikdash, which is a Makom HaChibur between the Olamos Elyonim and the Olam HaTachton. So too the Malava Malka is the point where there's connection between the Kedusha of Shabbos and the Chol. It's brought down in Sfarim that the Neshama Yisera, again, whatever that means, the Neshama Yisera, we'll have to spend another time trying to figure out what that means exactly, the Neshama Yisera. But whatever the Neshama Yisera is, doesn't leave a person until after the Malava Malka meal. It stays with the person because we're in that time period of connection, of Chibur, between the Kedusha of Shabbos and the rest of the week. He even goes as far to say that without the Malava Malka, so you're not Yotzei the three Shabbos meals. He obviously doesn't mean Al-Pi Halacha, you're not Yotzei, you're Chiv of the three meals. But what he means is the Kedusha, Lechora, what he means, is that the Kedusha, the connection to Chol, and the Kedusha gained from the three meals is squandered if you don't have that Malava Malka. L'maisa, it's an important meal. Tosfos on Daf, in Shabbos there, but on Kuf Yud Chasamad Aleph, Dibra Master of the Ha, says that when you're cheshbening to give food to an ani for Shabbos, so you have to cheshben in the fourth meal as well. The fourth meal is a very important meal. And the Shulchan Aruch, this I believe is on our source sheet now, back to the source sheet, the Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Shin, Li'olam yisader adam shulchanu b'motzei Shabbos, kedei l'lavos es ha-Shabbos. Apilei otzoch el l'kazayis. This is the only si'if in the Simen, is this one line, that a person should make sure that they have a meal Motzoi Shabbos, Malava Malka. The Aruch HaShulchan, which is also on the source sheet, tries to stress the importance. He says, Rabim Einan, Ein Nisharim Besudazu. The Aruch HaShulchan, writing from Germany 100 years ago, tells us that many are not careful with this Su'uda. V'hamekaymo Schar Meruba. Someone who does it has a tremendous amount of Schar. V'chol Yirei Yelokim mit amtsim lekaymo. The Ochlin Kazayas. And all Yirei Elokim try very hard to make sure that they do this mitzvah and that they are Ochel a Kazayas. I'll just add one side point. This is a minhag we have in our house. that the that there's an inyan to also light candles at the meal. Perhaps also some type of idea connected to the candles of Shabbos. We also light candles. This is brought down, Baruch Hashem, I found a source for it, the Sefer Tzedek L'Derech, which was Rav Menachem Ibn, which just means Ben, Zerach. He was a Spanish Rishon from the 14th century. He has a very fascinating sefer called Tzedek L'Derech, where he goes through just a lot of hanhagas of what life was like, Jewish life was like in Spain, and lots of halachos, and tells you the minhagim of Spain in the 14th century. So in that sefer, Tzedek L'Derech, so he brings down this minhag to light candles, extra candles for the meal. Extra candles, because obviously that's how they lit up their house, with candles. But extra candles, l'chavod the meal. What should one eat? So the Gemara doesn't say explicitly what food you're supposed to eat, but the Gra notes in his Hagos and Shulchan Aruch Simin Shin, that's where all of our discussion is centered around, the fact that the Gemara groups it together, juxtaposes it to the Friday night meal, right? That was with the two statements, one right after the other. First telling me about the Friday night meal, and then telling me about the Motzoi Shabbos meal. So the Gra learns from there that just like the Shabbos meal requires lechem, so too the Motzoi Shabbos meal requires lechem. The Rav Pe'ilim in that Shuvah I referenced before, so he also notes that the Rambam juxtaposes the two of them in the Halacha. He follows the lead of the Gemara and puts those two together in the Halacha. And this requires that this kezias that you need to eat is a kezias of bread. The Arizal in his Svarim brings down an inyan to have two loaves of bread, but he says that you should only make the bracha on one, because this is the meal of David HaMelech, and it's the sod of Malchus and the sod of Lechem Oni. So again, Ein Lenu Esek B'Nistaros, I'm not sure exactly what that means. I'm not zoche yet to understand what the sod of Malchus and Lechem Oni is and why that would require one, making the bracha only on one and not on two. But, I mean, I understand Lechem Oni, Prusa, I understand a little bit, but not sure exactly what the deeper significance is, not to Dafka have two loaves. Maybe we're not yet holding by the Messianic era yet, so we don't do the full, maybe one day the meal will be, you know, Bishlemus, and we'll be able to do it on two rolls. But that's what the Arizal brings down. And the Maram, the Ramah, excuse me, Mifano, says, I'm not sure where his source is for this, but he says that the Suda that Avraham had with the Malachim when they came to visit him was Malav Malka. And he stresses the importance of doing it with three people, Malav Malka, and with Zimun, and with a Bracha Alakos. So again, I'm not sure exactly where that comes from, and I'm not sure exactly what the deeper meaning is there. But this is what's brought down in Svarim regarding what you should eat. As you see, a stress on bread. Now, the fact is, Halacha L'maisa, this is pretty hard, especially in the summer, when Shabbos ends very late. You know, Shabbos can end 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I mean, in certain places it can end even later than that. But for us, it ends here in Eretz Yisrael, 8:30, latest or so, something around there. And you just had Shal Shittas at 7 o'clock, and you had a nice full meal, so it's going to be hard to eat a sit-down and have another meal for a Motzoi Shabbos. So the Achronim give a bunch of suggestions on what you should do. The first suggestion that's brought down is to eat a little bit less at Shal Shittas. The Chacham is one who is Ro'es HaNolad. If you know you're going to be eating a big meal at Motzoi Shabbos, so you know not to eat too much at the Shal Shittas. So that's something that I wrote down here to mention, which is just I'm not sure in terms of like the kavod for the third meal. To I don't think it's a chana. No, I don't think it's a chana to eat less. I hear that. Like, why should you jip the third meal, which is the oraisa, perhaps? In order to be able to have a better fourth meal. I hear that 100%. The Magen Avraham gives a different suggestion. The Magen Avraham says that you should just eat fruit or something light for this meal. You don't have to have bread. You can eat fruit. You can eat a lighter food. And for Malav Malka. Not for Shal Shittas. For Malav Malka. Thank you for clarifying that. And there's a sefer called Leket Yosher. Leket Yosher was a Rishon, Ashkenaz. It's a fascinating sefer. He brings down all of the Hanhagos and the Trumas Hadeshim. I don't know if he just like followed him around and wrote down what he did, but he writes all the Hanhagos of the Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin was an Ashkenazi Rishon, very late in the Rishonic period, after the Balei Tosfos and Ashkenaz. After the Balei Tosfos, there were a bunch of Poskim in Germany, the Maharil. So another one of them was the Trumas Hadeshin. So the Trumas Hadeshin, his Hanhagos were recorded by the Leket Yosher, and the Leket Yosher says this is what the Trumas Hadeshin did on Motzoi Shabbos. Germany certainly is much more farther north than us here in Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure Shabbos ends there. Anyone been to Germany in the middle of the summer? Anyone know how late Shabbos ends? I think it ends significantly later than it ends here. And this is what he used to do, apparently. He used to eat fruit and light food. And the Aruch HaShulchan, I put it on the Makoro sheet here, I think now put it to the back. Oh, we have to look at Yosher. B'motzoi Shabbos, I misadu shulchan over ochal l'lavos ha-melech, ha-malka. U'lefamim ochal peiros u'mini targima b'kayetz. Aval b'cholef ochal k'shar b'nei adam ha-ochlim sudasim. During the winter, he ate a normal meal, but during the summer, when Shabbos ended very late, I mean, that's not what he says, but I'm assuming that's why he had a chiluk between the summer and the winter. So in the summer, he would eat a lighter meal. The Aruch HaShulchan, in Siman Shin, obviously, tells us, V'nachal lechol basar, mishi yochol lechol. V'yim lav, yochol dogim. Shigam zeh maichol chashiv. O peros tovim kishiyeshto. V'yochlam impas. But you should eat them all with bread. U'mish eno yochol lechol pas klal. But if you're just like, oh gosh, I can't eat any bread. Yekayim b'mizonos u'peros. So you should eat it with mizonos or peros. You see, he sticks in mizonos also. Right? He sticks in there, you should have some mizonos. So we have a lighter meal. That's the second suggestion. The third suggestion is brought down by the El Yeraba. This is a little bit of a chiddush. And in fact, if you look on the source sheet, so he doesn't say it himself. He says, El Yeraba in Simin Shin. It's perish on the Shulchan Aruch. Va'ani shamati. If you extend your shalosh shudas into dark, you're able to double dip and use that meal to also count for Malava Malka. Now, I'll just point out, the Aruch HaShulchan, I think, also adds that you can do this, but he says that you should try to eat a kezayis at least on Motzoi Shabbos. Try to eat a kezayis after dark. You can extend the meal, but try to eat a kezayis. And if you look at the Sefer Tehillah LeDavid, which is a very important halacha sefer, Tehillah LeDavid, used a lot in Hilchos Shabbos, the Rabbi David Ortenberg, I think he was from Berdichev. I don't remember if he's from Berdichev or if the sefer was printed in Berdichev. But he says, "V'lo oven eich asher likro sudas gimel sudas levia." I don't understand. He doesn't like this suggestion of the Eliyahu Rabba. I don't understand. How can you call the third meal, also your Malava Malka? V'yadayim kol kedusha Shabbos olel. You haven't davened Ma'ariv yet. You haven't made Avdallah. It's Shabbos. How can you call that the Leviyah? How can you call that the escorting out of Shabbos? Leviyah, v'leviyah shayach achar shiyotza hamelech. Escorting is only shayach after the king leaves. It's not shayach to do it while it's still Shabbos. But these are three suggestions for those of us who have trouble eating Malava Malka. So we should at least sit and have. We can either cut down on our shalosh shittos, not in the Teichman home, or we can eat fruits or rugelach, but it should be some type of achila l'shem malava malka. Or third is that we can extend our shalosh shittos into dark, and according to the Aruch HaShulchan, eat a kezayis afterwards, and that way we'll make sure that we're at least mekayim the mitzvah according to these opinions. Just want to end with a very interesting discussion that emerges from the end of the Gemara that we read. A couple of extra halacha points that come out from the very end of the Gemara. If you remember, the end of the Gemara said this whole story with Rabbi Abahu and the calf that he shechted and he ate from the kidney. So in many svarim, they're obviously, if the Gemara put that story in, they didn't just put it in Stam. They want you to learn something from it. So the Mogen Avram in Simin Shin is medayek that we should eat meat if we can. At the Malava Malka. We already saw that referenced by the Aruch HaShulchan. If you can, it's an Indian to eat meat at the Malava Malka. That's number one, Magen Avram. Number two, you should try to prepare something new and fresh. Don't just pull all the leftovers out, but try to make something fresh and new for the Malava Malka. Because what did Rabbi Abahu do? He had them prepare for him on Motzei Shabbos a calf. So the Marsha comments on the Gemara and says, you see from here, you should try to have something new. I don't know if that means the whole meal has to be new, but take something out, a new fruit that hasn't been cut up already and sitting in the fridge, but, you know, a new closed fruit, or fry yourself an egg. Do something that's an addition for the meal. The Taz, however, in Shulchan Aruch, we won't say what's in, the Taz comments and says that you don't have to do this, if, you know, it's okay not to. And the last is that there's an interesting discussion about when you're supposed to have the Malava Malka. Some sfarim say to do it immediately after Shabbos. And other sfarim say that you should do it within 4 hours. Not sure exactly where the 4 hours comes from. But you should try to do it within 4 hours of the Yitziyah Shabbos. Yaakov Emden writes in his Siddur, that from the Gemara, from the fact that they were preparing a calf, obviously shows that Rabbi Abba wasn't eating it immediately after Shabbos, because it takes a couple of minutes to prepare a calf. It probably takes more than a couple of minutes. So he thinks that he has a raya from the Gemara that you could take your time. And indeed, the Eshel Avram in Halacha can be a little complicated, because the Prima Gadim wrote a Perish on Shulchan Aruch. Prima Gadim, you should know, his Perish is on the Magen Avram in the Taz. His Perish on the Magen Avram in Or HaChaim. His Perish on Magen Avram is called the Eshel Avram. And his Perish on the Taz is called the Mishpatzo Zof. The problem is there was another big posek named the Eshel Avram, who's in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. So when you have an Eshel Avram quoted, it's not always clear if it's the Prima Gadim or if it's the Perish in the back. So in a lot of Sfarim they write the Eshel Avram mi Boshtat, or something like that. Boshtat, some word like that. So the Eshel Avram, that Eshel Avram, paskins that you can do it very, very late, like Rav Yaakov Emden says. But Lemaisa, the Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin, says that if you can, you should be makdim it as close as possible to Shabbos. This is obviously not always possible, and you obviously don't want to eat an achila gasa. I'll just end with one very fascinating sefer. Oh, those things were all on the source sheet, by the way. The Siddur Yavetz, Nirush Yeshlo Meshech Zman Yoter. He says, you have time, and Yeshlo Avram. Now, the last source I want to quote to you is from the sefer Evan Yisrael, and this is in the section called Inyan Malava Malka. He says that he was once in the presence of a certain Rebbe, and Biyom Rishon, on Sunday, Besudas HaTzarayim, at lunch on Sunday, Mirachshin Svosav, I saw that he was whispering something. Ukimeduma, and I think I heard him say, Askina Sudasa Lesudas Malava Malka, that he was having his Malava Malka on Sunday afternoon. And he says, Misha Yechola Rachman Ol Sano, Onos, Tolora Yochol Akain Motzai Shabbos Sudazu, so Yaso So Achar Shabbos Kishi Yuchal. If you can't have it on Motzai Shabbos, so have it whenever you can, and just have Kavanah that it's for Malava Malka. So in general, I don't think that's the standard practice to have Malava Malka on Sunday afternoon. But you see that, if possible, we should always try to have some type of meal after Shabbos, and that have Kavanah that meal is obviously B'schus, Eliyahu HaNavi, and David HaMelech, and reference to Messianic times, but also that it's more on a more down here level. It's a suda to give the proper respect to Shabbos, just like we usher in Shabbos with tremendous respect. We should do it with Yitziyah Shabbos. And it reminds me of one of my favorite vorts on one of the Zmiros that I'll end with, that we say in the Zmiros, I think I heard this the first time actually when I was in Shalavim, and I was eating at Rabbi Benji Horowitz. Anyone here from Florida? Okay, so I was eating at Rabbi Benji Horowitz's house, who was in the Kollel then, and there was another, I don't remember if he was in the Kollel, I think he was just visiting, Rabbi Natana Leibowitz, no relation, who is eating with us at the meal, and he asked Rabbi Natana Leibowitz to give a Dvar Torah. So Natana Leibowitz said that this is a standard Dvar Torah you keep in your back pocket. It works for any Shabbos. Someone asks you for a Dvar Torah, this Dvar Torah works. Since then, I've heard the Dvar Torah elsewhere, but we say in Zemiros that we praise those who are Meharim Latzeis. How does that line go? Anyone remember? Maharim level. How's the beginning go? Anyone remember? No, that's Mechem Tesem. What's the line? Oh, man. Hold on. Anyone have a sitter? Is there a sitter in the house? Shmir Salash and a Gemara. Hama'achrim Latzeis u'maharim level. There we go. Mi'achrim Latzeis, they leave Shabbos late, u'maharim level, and they bring Shabbos in early. So, the question could be asked, the order, it's out of order. If you want to praise the people who do Tosefa Shabbos, you say they bring in Shabbos early and they extend Shabbos late. What do you mean they extend Shabbos late and they bring in Shabbos early? So the first pshat is based on the Medrash. The Medrash says that at Marah, Klal Yisrael weren't ready for the Torah yet, and HaKadosh Baruch was trying to give them Shabbos. They weren't ready for Shabbos. So Hashem said, the Medrash says, Hashem said, I'll give you Shabbos. Try it. If you like it, I'll give you more. So the first Shabbos, they didn't bring in early. They didn't even know what they were getting into. But they loved Shabbos so much that what did they do that first Shabbos? They extended it late. And then when the next Shabbos came around, they brought in early. So historically, chronologically, the way Klal Yisrael did it was they were Ma'achrim Latzeis, and then they were Maharim Lavo. But there's another pshat that I heard from Rabbi Leibowitz. And what he said was, and it's very beautiful, he said
that everybody wants to bring in Shabbos early. It's been a long week. You're tired. You're ready, unless you're on the road and you're stuck in traffic. You want to bring in Shabbos early. That's not a riot that you love Shabbos. But when you've already had Shabbos for 25 hours and you're itching to get out and it's Motzei Shabbos and you have places to go and people to see, all of a sudden nobody wants to extend Shabbos anymore. Everyone's waiting. What time? Looking at the calendar and then running around to see if any clocks in the house say that time. Okay, good. Oy, Shabbos. Shabbos is over. So when a person is Me'achrim Latzeis, when he extends Shabbos, so it's a raya that his Maharim Lava was also done Lishma. Not until a person is Ba'achrim Latzeis do we know that his Maharim Lava was... Oh, come on, open it up. Write that one down. That's good. Was Maharim Lava. And therefore, we see the significance of the meal on Motzei Shabbos. All of us are chalashing for Shabbos to begin because we know, finally, we're going to get the chicken soup and we're going to get a geshmak meal. But Motzei Shabbos... Do we really want to extend Shabbos? Are we really being Malavish Shabbos? So Motzei Shabbos, Malavah Malka, is an opportunity for us to do that. Now why are we speaking about this week's Parsha? Because the Pasuk says in this week's Parsha, Vayikra Hashem HaMakom Ahu Beit El, V'ulam Luz Shem Ha'ir L'Rishona. And I even found in some Kabbalistic Sfarim that they try to connect this word Luz to the Luz Bona Malavah Malka. I don't know what they were saying. What? Oh, okay, there you go. There's one connection. That was Lud. Okay, whatever it is, I'll leave that to the Kabbalistic scholars in the room who figure out everything else we discussed. We'll be able to figure out this. But, Baruch Hashem, we have an opportunity to learn some halachas based on the Parsha.